our society by images of sexuality?
That's hard to tell, because if something is prevalent and abundant, McLuhan's law was that it was obsolete. What was not noticed was what was affecting people. And he said advertising was meant to not be noticed. And he said advertising couldn't condition a mouse. But he did say it does have influence by not being noticed. Now, that's pretty interesting because most people think advertising is noticed and they'll change the channel and are irritated by it. So he had a rather unique view of it. Bramley, just a minute. Do you have a feminist teacher that's you're writing this paper for?
Well, she's a woman, but I don't know if she's a feminist. This is a this particular module is gender inequality, sexual orientation, and sexual inequality.
Well, she may be a philosopher about it, but that's feminist topic there.
Yeah, the curriculum itself is feminist, at least.
Right. And how old is she?
I think she's like a middle-aged professor.
Right. So she's been around a while and bored shitless with the topic. So, yeah, she might not be so engaged. She might be acting. Your teacher might be acting rather than reacting because she's been around long enough. But
is she single?
I don't know. When you fucked her, Bramley, did you find out? Talk about
I think
driver
she...
speech. What? What is she? Do you know if she's married?
No, I have no idea.
That's interesting.
It's just
that
those
you don't
professors
know that.
Are so easy to spot.
Well, it's an online class, so I don't.
Oh,
I don't really know.
There are no people
she's
involved. Yeah. No chemical bodies, yes, because you could just look at her finger. She's got to see if she has a ring on. But, okay, so, yeah, you can't know at this point. So I bet you she doesn't know McLuhan stuff. See, nobody knows McLuhan stuff. That's what's interesting. So if you wanted to, you know, bamboozle her and you weren't caring about your mark, start, you know, listen to what I just read you and try to apply that to your paper. Because there's a lot of putting on going on, a lot of obsolescence of imagery.
So,
even though
so you said the medium puts on the audience.
What was the last few words?
Without the audience recognizing
noticing.
They're being.
They don't notice how it's making their senses a certain mixture. That was McLuhan's thesis. They're. Five senses were mixed in a certain way when you just had books as the dominant form of public communication. But when you get electric media, that's a whole different thing from a book, so people become different. I mean, remember, you know, 150 years ago, women had wore, you know, layers of clothing. I often think about this. Look at that. What made them get into clothing the way they did? And then 100 years later, they're going around in bikinis. What changed?
That's advertisement.
Or that's the content, and most people think it's the content, but it might be the tactile electrified effect, which is not a chemical body effect. It's physical.
Well, I've got something to throw in there, and that would be that the naive Puritan-born American soldiers went overseas to Europe in World War II and got fucked by French prostitutes, pardon my language, and thus experienced European sexual culture, brought that back with them, had the baby boom.
They couldn't talk about that. How did it bring it, you know, how did they implement it when they came back?
The sexual revolution. That would be Playboy starting up and all these court cases about public indecency which caused a big uproar in electric media. Electric media spread the scandals of young men who, you know, slept around with a bunch of women and went to court for it, and it was the spectacle of the electric media spreading.
Or the content, the content of Hugh Hefner, was going to ask somebody, maybe Sarah, did he get buried by Marilyn Monroe, right beside Marilyn Monroe? Is that what happened? Did you hear about that?
Yes.
I heard about that.
Yeah, so she was his first Playboy cover, I think, right? So he kind of made a big tribute to her by requesting to be buried beside her and had the means to do it, to buy it, the cemetery. Anyway, so he, the Playboy Revolution is pretty interesting. You know, McLuhan said when he emphasized the medium was the message, he says, I purposely left out the fact that the user is the content. Being a symbolist poet, he exaggerated one side of the argument, so to speak. And he didn't bring the users of the content back until the 70s. So in normal perception, it's always two conversations and both sides of an argument are usually half right. Like, you know, obviously content has a say, but the form has a say too. And people never notice the form in the book era. They notice the content.
So do you think that the content of images of sexuality or sexual images being the theme of content or the media or the medium, do you think that affects humans socially?
Well, when you ask me, you're asking, Bramley, you're asking an actor. I'm not a reactor. I have no opinion that I'm sticking to. I'm going to figure out what you might not have noticed. So when I give my answer, it's not what I believe.
I'm not asking you directly. I'm asking the audience.
Oh, okay. So the question is, you're still saying the same question. Does the content influence our society? Right? That's your base. You're still repeating that. Unless you said something.
Okay.
Else.
So the mediums which get put on, those are the cool mediums. Those are the mediums that people have to kind of step into and complete the picture in. Right.
No,
so
no. Clinton. All media are put on. They have different ways of being put on. So a book puts on detachment, and electric media put on cool involvement. That's what McLuhan meant.
Well, sexuality is going to be tactile and cool. It's not going to be something you see and get detached from, unless you're. Well, I don't know.
No, that is what happened in the first half of the 20th century. He wrote a whole book about it called The Mechanical Bride. The woman was put on a pedestal. Look, but don't touch, because it was a visually biased society. And then by the 60s, woman became an expendable jujube. Jujube was a candy at the time. A throwaway candy, because tactility took over, no longer putting them on a pedestal. Actually, you wanted to grope them more, maybe, or it became socially acceptable to be tactile with women. That's the change.
Bob, didn't Mechanical Bride talk about the change that women were going to become more like men and men were going to become more like women?
No, that's under TV. The Mechanical era, before World War II, highlighted the differences between sexes. And McLuhan was for that. He didn't think coeducation was useful. He thought coeducation led to homosexuality because the tension of the separate forms, male and female, created an interesting sexual life. But if you start mixing the women with the guys in high school, they look and act similar. The tension for a visually biased society isn't there.
So when women are scarce and rare, then they're more desirable. But then when you see them every day, you get bored.
Visually biased people. That would only happen in a visually biased industrial society, because the medieval society and tribal societies, everybody, there is no sex, no gender classifications. The sex.
All right, so do you think that whether or not, to answer Bramley's question, whether or not media of sexualized women affects you depends totally on how much women you see in real life in your chemical body, like to balance it out, or whether you only see women through sexual forms of media, or whether you see them every day and then you know that the supermodel is just a fake Photoshop and it doesn't do anything for you?
It depends on the media diet in the society. Remember, the media diet is the basic foundation of knowing. So if you have a literate society and people are reading books, not the fashion world you're talking about, they don't even have photographs, the people are going to be quite separate from each other as literate individuals reading silently. And the women weren't even in the schools, maybe a little bit, but not much.
Yeah.
And that might
there you go.
Yeah, and that might have for a literate society be the charm of it. McLuhan goes on about sex for tribal, oral, pre-literate people is a cup of coffee, and the division between the sexes is hardly there. So that's a completely different situation, which he thought we were coming back to with television, telephones, and electric media. We were really being re-tactilized, re-tribalized. And so the teenager becomes the all-purpose term for the human being, neither male or female.
Yeah, okay. So that's an interesting angle for you, Bramley. I mean, if your male is only getting tactile with women through a media, but he stays at home and plays video games all day and never actually gets tactile with a real woman, then the results on him is going to be different than someone who's out there taking dance lessons or something.
Right.
And getting to throw around a bunch of real women.
Right. And remember the discarnate, the beyond your five senses interaction in the electric membrane reality. Like right now, we are interacting, communicating without any body, other majority body interaction, any physical body interaction, we'll call it chemical body. That's altering people's relationships starting with radio. I mean, it's pretty interesting to go back to the 19th century and just look at how stilted we might consider it, and detached and proper and ceremonial compared to when those women started smoking and doing the Charleston in the 20s. That was outrageous. You know, really violent on the social traditions of the literate industrial society. And then after World War II, they're going around nude and fucking anything that moves, or being fucked by anything that moves. Maybe they were still kind of passive. But the probe, represented by Marilyn Monroe, there's an important icon, what she represented.
And also, I mean, Bob, when they brought out the bikini, no French models would wear it.
Right.
They thought it was absolutely, completely, and horribly obscene.
And I think it was Miss Tutu, B.B., Bridget Bardot, who
finally put it on.
The bikini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aha.
There's your
22. And then they asked the designer, why did you call it the bikini? He said, because of the explosive, the atomic bomb tests in the bikini atolls, this bathing suit is so explosive. That's why he named it the bikini. From the bikini atolls. Yeah.
Yes. That was the fallout shelter era in the 50s. So
that's right.
So I have McLuhan on my chart. He's the period of 57 to 67, and the number 22 fits in that quadrant. So 57 to 60 is when Bardot surfaced with the bikini, so it fits that decade. Her BB, her 22 in her name, fits there. I hadn't put that together before, I don't think. Unless I did and forgot, but I certainly knew BB was 22. I can't see a BB name without noticing the 22 aspect. But that's it. That's the period, 57 to 67. And it peaks around 65. And then the color TV effect and the ecological worrying about the planet and being polluted is the next mood symbolized by William Irwin Thompson. That's 67 to 72. Then that flips into 72 to 77 is the postmodern croaker world. And that's the disco duck world plus punk.
Right, and that's when French academics came in and all the universities started talking about Jacques Derrida and Lacan, which that's what Pearson's always complaining about.
Right. And they were knockoffs of McLuhan and purposely did McLuhan backwards, you know? Hey, here's a new theory I got. Edgar Allan Poe was not taken serious by English and American critics, but by French critics. And because Edgar Allan Poe developed the idea of emphasizing the effect, writing poetry to create a particular effect rather than some lofty abstract idea of truth or beauty, the French in the Western world were the most acoustic society. So the acoustic effect that Edgar Allan Poe, who was considered from the American South, which was more acoustic than the Industrial North, the acoustic effect of his ideas appealed to the more acoustic society among the French, Americans, and British. So that's a McLuhan. That's a new adaptation of McLuhan. Edgar Allan Poe appeared to the French with an acoustic resonance. So along comes the tactile world of McLuhan, and everybody, every culture has to become its opposite because it's an identity crisis. They can't handle the extension of tactility. So the Chinese become Westerners, and the Westerners go east. But the French, who had an acoustic bias, adopted very abstract visual modalities represented by Derrida. He said language came from writing, not speech. So that's another interesting application of McLuhan. The French became visual. They put on the visual as an antidote to the electric tactility. And the British, who were a visually biased society traditionally, put on the acoustic, and that's the Beatles and the British invasion in music. They became their opposites in relation to what they had traditionally been under the new tactile situation. So you can use McLuhan to... Too bad you didn't know that in college, Clinton. You could have used McLuhan to create whole different arguments in the courses they imposed on you.
Absolutely.
But we can do it here. We can do it here. We don't have to be in college. But Brambley is. Well, poor Brambley. He thinks getting a degree is going to help him. But let me tell you, when Trump gets finished with this world, fucking college degree ain't going to mean nothing, Brambley.
Well, I mean, that's ridiculous, man. Like the.
Well, thank you. We are aiming to be ridiculous here. Go ahead.
But you'll still have to pay off the debt.
Yes, but Bradley, how prove that I'm ridiculous? What is ridiculous? Okay, Jermaine wants to say something. We'll get back to you, Bradley. What, Jermaine?
It doesn't even matter. You're not going to have to pay it. My sister just got an email and said that they would settle for her paying like $1,000 if she can't afford to pay back like $20,000.
Wow.
So you can go to school.
More fucking irresponsibility.
And then you don't have to pay the loans anyways.
Yeah, basically society has given up controlling itself. They're so pissed off at Trump. Nobody's following any rules. Now, Jermaine is a fine example of an expendable jujube. She even looks like Bridget Bardot. You could counter saying no. With the internet and Web 2.0, I've retrieved my individual autonomy. I'm not in the collective tribal effect of television of the 60s. So
I was going to say that because I never reacted to anything. I'm an actor like yourself, but also I grew up in like a household where everything was not traditional. And so I don't think that we ever followed anything. Nothing applied to us. We were completely different. On top of the fact that I came into, when I found out about Ion and Bob and everyone, I was in my mid-20s. So then I didn't get shaped by anything besides later on coming in my mid-20s, learning about McLuhan, Ion. And so, I would say I wouldn't fall under, and I wouldn't be able to relate to any of the stuff that the guys are talking about right now. So that's why I wasn't really saying much.
Right. And McLuhan, not McLuhan, Ion said about Jermaine in her first session, like right at the beginning, you're very standoffish in relation to men. Wasn't that how he said it? Something like that.
Yeah.
Almost a snob. Yeah. Now, that snob part of yourself was before you got Ionized and McLuhanized. Right?
Yeah. Yep. I was very, Then I learned to be more like Bob. Talk to anybody. It doesn't matter. Learn about entertain yourself.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So but Jermaine, what do you think, and you should be knowing yourself enough by now because you've gone through the new change for many years, what gave you the position or the attitude of detachment to men? What do you think it was that made you snobbish? Was it your fashion sense?
Since I was a kid, I was like that. And my mom couldn't understand why I was a snob. And I actually, my dad, when I was like around 11, I got in trouble for being a snob to his friend. So I now that I grew up, I'm like, you know, and learned a lot about myself, I was just like that from the beginning. However, I was glad that my parents taught me not to be like that, and I was nicer to people, and, you know, I wasn't a snob to people, but I stayed like that with guys, men.
Right.
But
you, do you know what you were thinking to yourself? What were you, waiting for the perfect beau or something, or the perfect woman? Like, what? Why do you think you have that attitude?
I was very on my own, independent. I felt like I didn't need anyone. Nobody can impress me in a way. So then I would be like, oh, whatever, I could do that on my own.
Weren't you criticized as a kid because you were Costa Rican? Was it you who described your schooling as always being beat up or attacked? Yeah, you were kind of paranoid. You'd be forced to be paranoid or created into a paranoia, on guard.
Yeah, but
because they were.
But I still was very social, and I was able to make friends. Everybody wanted to be my friend, but at the same time, there was a lot of other people that were just didn't understand why I looked a certain way. Why was I Costa Rican? I had a European named Jermaine Renner. I looked mixed. They used to say I looked half black, half white.
Yeah.
Why did I speak Spanish? Like, nobody could understand. There was so many questions, so I used to get picked on for those things. However, like, I did make a lot of friends. I had no problem hanging out with people, the ones that I wanted to hang out with.
Right.
I was very supportive. And then,
have you noticed, I think you have, that you were very similar to Roxy?
Yes. Very.
Yes.
Because she is
seen, when she walks around in Berlin with a lot of different peoples, everybody thinks she's them. The Jews think she's Jewish. The Arabs think she's Arabs. The Chinese think she's Chinese. Well, maybe not that far. But but she is identified with every group. As a matter of fact, she's met this very interesting Indian princess who thought that Roxy was Indian. Now, Indian did take sitar lessons and can do that music, but she had a face that McLuhan almost called charisma. Everybody sees themselves in her. So you
mm-hmm.
had that experience.
I did.
Everybody thought you were, yeah.
Yeah, because I had so much of a mixture of background of, you know, the Costa Rican, the German, so much. Spaniard, so, yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about your world, and it's valid, and that is your godliness or goddess or sovereignty. There's that whole thing of that. But we're that becomes puny compared to these mass media effects,
mm-hmm.
which is the world of social mortar, social language. So we have two aspects here. We're talking to Bramley is talking generalities for his course. And we're emphasizing your individuality here. So, Bramley, the topic sounds cliche, at least how you're presenting it. It's like what people would talk about in the 70s.
This material, like, it's from this particular module, it's basically the summary here, or the introduction is, like, gender is a social concept. It refers to the social and cultural differences a society assigns to people based on their biological sex. A related concept, gender roles, refers to a society's expectations of people's behavior and attitudes based on whether they are females or males. More than 1.4 billion people on Earth are desperately poor. Their ranks include more than their fair share of women, who are estimated to make up 70% of the world's poor. So basically, this is gender and social problems is the
it's communist shit. That's the age
communist
70s Marxist crap.
Yeah, I agree with Bob here. They're putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
Yes, well, they're putting the cart before the horse. In communism, everyone's just programmed by the system, and you'll be whatever society tells you you are, right? And in this case, I mean, gender and sex are 99.7% correlated. So 99.7% of people who look like men feel like and act like men. So gender can't be a social construct if 99.7% of men are men and 99.7% of women are women. Right? That's a, right there. They're telling you what to think, and then they're giving you the evidence. They're not looking at the evidence and then deciding what's right. They're doing science backwards. All right, here's what you're looking for to prove. Now go look at the evidence and prove the things we're told you to look for.
Yeah, yeah, it's get your ass for your money back, Bramley. It's a lousy course.
Well, I think that society, like, socially, we have a lot of problems. This is also estimated 3.8% or 9 million Americans.
Are they your problems?
Yeah, so, well, here's the thing. You can socialize men to suppress their masculinity and to bottle it up and to act more effeminate, but you're fighting their nature. I mean, the curriculum is socializing men, and, like, men are socialized to fight their gender, and women are socialized to fight their gender and take up more masculine roles. But that's not to say that gender is a construct. I mean, you're constructing the gender against the biology, right? You're creating people who are all bottled up and fighting their own being as opposed to expressing
not necessarily.
Media.
There's some...
With modern media, Clinton, that's what makes it possible. A lot of
the world. Media allows that. Yeah, yeah, being able to be surrounded by so many, role models.
Physical levels. Because those categories... you're talking about with 70 stuff, Bramley. Madonna came and confused those categories. She's considered a different kind of feminist, a post-second wave. I don't know what they call it. Third wave?
Yeah.
Is Madonna. And she took advantage of the TV landscape, the TV body. So a lot of these stereotypes are only in TV, not in people's texting chip body life.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
More of a TV, not a, like a,
yeah.
Which now we're more consumed by social media and all that. For example, this weekend, check this out. This weekend there was a parade. I'm not sure what it's like something this girl, she's a social media celebrity. She's not an actress, she's a celebrity. Her name's Amber Rose. She has this, I think it's her third year that she's doing this. It's called the slut walk, and she considers herself a feminist. So she does this slut walk where she invites women and, to come and protest or just to express their femininity. And there's like women walking around half naked, So
is there an advanced boardwalk?
They're expressing solidarity with women who get raped. They're showing, look, if we walk around without any clothing, that doesn't mean you can rape us too, right? I'm perfectly free to walk around looking as sexy as I want, and men should still, they're fighting rape culture.
Yeah. Hey, where's that done in L.A., Jermaine? Is it only in L.A.?
On my block. It's like
on your
around,
block.
On my block. Like, it's one block away.
Now,
Yeah, let her finish, Clinton, just a minute. So it's not a widespread phenomenon, not across the country.
Yes, it is.
No, it's only here in L.A. I don't know if they're doing it somewhere else, but I know it's L.A. This is the second or third year, and it started here in L.A.
But they wear pants, right, and shorts. They don't take their bottoms off, do they?
I've seen they're wearing bikinis, thongs, but topless. I don't know that I saw full bottom, like no panties on. I don't think they would be able to do that.
And so they are trying to let women go around like men show their chests. They say we should be able to do that too.
Yes, without being like groped or without being raped or with. They're saying, like, just because we dress a certain way doesn't mean that we want you to come and...
Well, look, an enlightened guy like me walks along with breasts hanging out every day at the beach, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the women with the breasts. I have to really control. I'm so tempted to grab them. So I have these urges, even though I'm an enlightened post-human guy, non-guy, right? And I tell you, it would be a lot hard for men in crowds to avoid doing something with those breasts. What do you think, Glenn? Do you agree?
Well, guys are going to stare at least,
yeah.
At least. And I do know that I've heard it from firsthand experience that a slut walk is a great place to pick up chicks. As long as you act like you're supporting their cause while you're doing it. Oh, yeah, I agree 100%. You want to go back to my place?
Right.
Jermaine.
And like, the feminine form is pretty beautiful, so it almost needs to be manipulated with clothing.
Well, Bob, what do you think, since we talk about all this stuff, what happened down the line when Adam and Eve were naked? Where did the clothes come, and how did this happen that now men get excited, or women get excited to see each other naked, but at one point it must have not been like that if they were walking around naked?
But there was no Adam and Eve. What, you fucking believe the Bible? What the fuck's wrong with you?
I don't believe it. I'm saying
sophisticated scientific society. Nobody believes religion.
I grew up without religion. I'm not saying I believe in religion or the Bible. I didn't even know what the Bible was until Ion came and said just to be knowledgeable about it.
Now that is crazy. To be someone who doesn't know what the Bible is. I mean, that you were bad. You're in L.A. That's bad education.
I got kicked out of Bible studies. Because we asked questions.
Right, right. Is that in Bible studies in Sunday school or regular education?
Well, since my mom was Catholic, she wanted us to do confirmation. You have to do your first communion, so you have to go to Bible studies to be able to finish these two things. So I used to.
That's church.
So
that's church.
Church, yeah. Bible studies was in church and all those classes, yeah. But I used to, like, bitch, pretend I would go and not go. And anyways, I ended up getting kicked out from Bible school.
Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty Ambrose Slutwalker would like you. If you have that in your resume. Kicked out of Bible studies at the age of 7.
I wasn't that young. 13. I think I was, like, 13.
13. Yeah, confirmation 13. because you asked too many questions is the reason, right?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, we would always ask questions. Well, why is this that, and why? What does this mean? And then so we got kicked out.
And they don't have the answers.
Yeah. They didn't have the answers. So,
we have two more, June and OJ.
Hey, Bob.
Is it OJ? We should listen to OJ. Is that your name? Yeah, OJ. I haven't talked to you in so long. OJ's here. Now, he was the Clinton before Clinton. OJ reads endless books, Clinton, and he's always posting the latest theories of all this stuff, and he has a consistent bunch of heroes that he falls back on. So OJ is very opinionated in a way. So, OJ, what, you have something to say?
No, not regarding anything you guys have been talking about. And I can barely hear you. It's like, can you make the volume higher or something?
I don't. Is everybody having that problem?
I can hear you fine.
No.
Yeah, we can all hear ourselves, OJ.
Okay.
Where are you, OJ? L.A.?
Yeah. I live in the valley. I'm walking home from the train station.
It's so pedestrian in people's lives. Walking home from the train station. See, you're lost in media environments there, OJ.
Wait, what?
You're lost in media environments. Walking from a train station, you're on the cell phone, you're using your body, billboards all around you.
Yeah.
Well, what's the actual address? What part of L.A. or whatever are you in?
I'm in Northridge.
That's where the earthquake was in 94.
Okay.
And that's where Ted Carpenter taught in the 60s. He did a lot of revolutionary stuff out of that campus at Northridge, McLuhan's buddy. I'm giving you the history, the important history of the area.
Yeah.
The significant people who passed through there. So that's... Well, that's okay. Okay, so you can bring in anything you want to talk about, but we're going back to Bramley's paper. See, Bramley, how much Bramley do you think with this woman should you be original? Or if you just do the basic propaganda, you're okay?
I mean, obviously I can't plagiarize other people's work. That's like an automatic, expulsion from...
Well, wait, no, you can quote other people, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I can quote people as long as I reference them.
Yeah, so don't worry about plagiarizing. Just, quote them. Do you have much time? How seriously do we take these questions? Are you just trying to get some quick stuff to slap together tonight and hand it in tomorrow? Or are you really looking at it?
I'm really trying to get a good grade, honestly.
How do you get a good grade? Is originality going to help?
Good, you're not going to get a good grade.
Ah.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
Yeah.
Believe me,
you gotta be correct.
Those sociology classes. If you try to write something original that's good, you're not gonna get a good grade. So you're better off kind of just going with the flow and just doing what she wants, because it's very clear what she wants you to say. She wants you to say
fight
was that?
System and go down in flames, man.
Yeah.
Right. But it's very clear what she wants you to say. She wants you to say that media sexualizes women, that rape culture is rampant all over the place. I mean, that's all she wants you to say.
Well, that's pretty much what I've been saying on the past paragraphs. But what do you guys think? Like, you guys think that
we're
that...
giving you an education, Bramley. We're providing many different views. That's how you get educated. Become aware of ideas you hadn't heard of. Fuck her course. You tell her I'm quitting. I'm sticking with Bob's course. But you can't, so back to the grind. Yes, but so we're talking. We can talk to you without helping you about your paper. Your paper's pretty limited in what it's going to do. So, yeah, beyond the purpose of the paper, we'll explore this. I think it's really complicated with the five bodies, and the millennials are weirdly different. And I haven't even said that the millennials are conditioned to be totally different from any culture that ever happened before.
How are we different?
From what?
What makes us different from Generation X?
Because you're dealing with five bodies, texting, and you've got people claiming they're not normally gendered. You got all kinds of phenomena going on that never happened before.
Oh, yeah. You've got furries, and you've got dragonkin, and you've got Japanese cartoons.
Yeah. I mean, you live a very – maybe you don't, but are you a millennial? Are you 21 like Brent?
25.
What, is that millennial, Brent? 25? Yeah, it is.
No,
92.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, let's go back to the slut walk. I have something to say about that.
Okay.
So the thing about the slut walk is they're obviously fighting for a feminist cause. And like Clinton said, it's they get to dress slutty, but nobody can touch. That's pretty much what they're saying. So they want to come across as like eye candy. And it's like, listen, we're dressed all sexualized, but you can't touch us because we're just too important. We're too high up on the totem pole for that. So, you guys aren't masculine enough to touch me. None of you. That's pretty much what they're saying.
Well,
which is the root cause of all this male aggression.
I don't
aggression.
Know about that because
that's the fraternity guy roofing a girl because he's calling her a slut because there's cognitive dissonance right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that just makes men like very aggressive, and that's a big issue. So I mean, it goes both ways. That doesn't seem to help the cause in my mind. I mean, there's some very angry men that don't like to see that whatsoever. Ian's always said, the way you become a highly sexualized man is you pretend, or not even pretend, but you embrace the fact that your dick is the best thing on the market. That everyone should be going after your dick. That you have to prize yourself as a man. And these are women prizing themselves, but saying, I'm a prize, but I don't actually want you to touch me. I'm really not allowing you to. It's just a game.
Hmm.
Do you think that the slut walk is an act of whistleblowing?
The slut walk is an act of whistleblowing?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of guys are whistling.
Oh, like a cat
yes, the girls walk by.
Oh, okay, I get it. All right, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure in a feminist class, what you're doing is you're hearing stories of women who are attacked by guys. And then the guy says, well, she shouldn't have dressed that way if she didn't want me to come on to her, right? So the slut walk, they're trying to show solidarity. Or we stand with you, sister. You can dress however you want. And still, he had no right. That's ostensibly the point of it. Right, but then it ends up being like a fun thing everyone gets ready for, and it's like another Halloween where you get to be the sexy nurse, you know. But they're doing it consciously for the reasons of, you know, standing up with prostitutes who put up with you know, abusive Johns and whatnot. Right, it's like a demonstration of their, you know,
solidarity, targeting a particular group. You know, yeah. Jermaine. It's so complex, it's really stupid to do public things, anything public, because it's got filtered through so many media landscapes and bodies. The best way to explore anything is to come here and hear the whole range of interpretations without all this cliché activity around any public promotion, performance. So
that's
what
I agree.
I say.
Yeah,
you agree with that.
Have
Ambroise, whatever her name is, have her come on here and say her piece and then respond to all these angles that she's never heard before. That's a way of learning and making a point, because you can't achieve in public spectacles anything you're intending. It's filtered through too many environments and too many attitudes and too many fragmentations and too many manipians, too many satirists.
Too many opinions.
Too many what?
Opinions.
Yeah. Gestures, mental gestures. Yeah. Like, it's totally ridiculous to get serious about a public communication. And that's what Trump is satirizing. He's making fun of everybody who presents anything in traditional social activism categories.
Protests have become a tradition.
Yeah, protesting is a folklore. And it's interesting, in the Peterson videos, the young women, the young transgendered people, they're so limited in their 20-year-old life. They have no awareness of many things, and he easily slays them. You see them, like, dumbfounded at his arguments. They never heard those arguments before. They didn't even know there were such values that he cites.
They've been working on defining themselves.
Yeah.
They don't even know that they are the world. They only see themselves as themselves, and they're searching inside, but it's like a stomach that's empty, eating itself, digesting itself without anything to actually chew on.
Right. And they never heard an articulate response that he does. He's hoiking up literate values. He's a print-oriented guy, and they didn't know anything about that. So it's interesting, like the one with the black lady, the nice young black woman's arguing with him. She's smart enough or hearing him enough that she's stunned at everything she said. She'd never heard arguments like that before. She didn't know that was the – she looked by the end of it, if you remember the black woman, like, holy shit, what am I doing out here defending this shit I'm doing? I don't know what to do. Can't be my black self anymore, or whatever she was.
Jermaine, what's your opinion on the – on the slut walk, because I think Clinton's absolutely right. I mean, it gets to the point where you have to look at it as, hey, this is fun. This is like another Halloween. There doesn't have to be any hard feelings anywhere. But I do think it causes a lot of male aggression, and that's why there's rape culture. What do you say?
I mean, I agree with Bob. I usually wouldn't do it in that way and go on Express and try and do that. But that's just because, like I said, I've learned so much, and I'm, like, at another level of thinking about things. So it's not like – but then in another way, I do sometimes wonder, when I walk out of here, I think, okay, is this showing too much? And I'm not even talking about showing skin. Are these pants too tight? Because guys are so weird. They're so, like, like Bob said, I don't know, they get excited.
Too many different.
And it's like sometimes it makes me feel really uncomfortable just to walk out there, and I try to cover myself. And it's uncomfortable sometimes when it's really hot and I have to wear covered up just because I don't want to deal with guys saying anything or whistling or so. I mean, for that reason, I can understand what it stands for, but I probably wouldn't go and do that publicly. And then, I mean, if they're walking around out there almost halfway naked, it's kind of like Halloween. You can go there and dress however you want, and then nothing's going to happen to you. So it is like one of those things, you know.
So these weird men, though, these weird men.
Not even weird.
Well, weird diversity. This diversity of individual, hallucination that's going on is not that much common attitude.
Reaction? Do you mean individual, reactions? Just there's such a wide range of reactions, so you don't know what's going to get thrown your way?
That's right. That's right. Okay. Yeah.
So why do you think people are – why do you think people are throwing out these reactions that are uncomfortable towards you?
Men?
What's going astray on their side? Yeah.
Well, that's what I don't know. That's what I always ask myself when I – so, okay, let's say I'm good-looking, so I get it. They admire that I'm good-looking. But do you have to be like, hey, woo, and say all that I'm walking down the street? It scares the shit out of me if I'm just walking straight and all of a sudden, the car stops and honks or yells or, hey. I'm like, what do you guys think that because you're like, hey, oh, woo. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to you.
Hey, Jermaine. You got to start acting a little counter-aggressive. You got to do that to them. You should not be controlled by your fear impulse so much.
So if she sees a sexy guy, she should, grab him? Is that your thing?
No, not grab him. Just go, hey, yeah. I go, Frank Zappa. That's what I do. I just yell out, Frank Zappa. They go, what? I heard of that guy. They get frozen. Do some verbal warfare back at them.
Well, what
I think we're talking about...
who's in the traffic? Is that OJ? OJ, if you're doing the traffic, mute.
No, that's me. I'll take care of it.
Yeah, just mute it. Okay, go ahead, whoever was speaking to Jermaine.
I'll say something. So do you think that women that dress a certain way encourage men to behave like animals?
No,
a good number of them.
No.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying the complete opposite. I don't dress a certain way to try and avoid those situations, and they still happen. So what I'm saying is,
you can't tell.
I don't think that women. Yeah, it's just something I don't understand why men do it. It's something that they just do, whether somebody's dressed provocative or not. Because I'm not out there provocative, and I still get all of that. So I can imagine if women that dress with little clothes, what happens? Don't get me wrong. If I go out and I'm with Jack or whatever and I want to wear something, that's when I take advantage because I'm like, okay, I could wear something that I like that's sexy that I'm with somebody, not walking by myself in the street.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jermaine, what do you think?
Let me just say, Jermaine, use that. Just yell Frank Zappa back at them and it'll work. they'll back off.
I am going to start doing that.
It works. Yeah, go ahead, Brent, or whoever was speaking.
What does this gathering teach the chemical body?
What does this gathering, I missed the verb.
What does this gathering teach the chemical body?
Well, it teaches all the kind of awarenesses you need. This is a new kind of spiritual awareness we're doing here. And that's just becoming aware of all the processes your perception and environments are involved in. And it's not talked about in any other so-called expansion schools, not the range we do. So this is the best place to hear things that you wouldn't hear anywhere else.
The chemical body? What kind of description is this? Sounds like...
Okay, the chemical body...
Very
the chemical
esoteric.
Body is your... Yes, but it's simply explained. The chemical body is what you are when you're not on the telephone. When you're on the telephone, you're doing things your chemical body can't do. You're hearing thousands of people thousands of miles away from you, and you can actually influence those environments if it was requested. So that's beyond the normal physical body. So we call that the TV body, the analog one-way communications. The telephone is the first two-way in the analog phase of media. When you get to the digital phase, it's all two-way or more, multiple ways. So we're tending this kind of show. We're using our chip technology, but it tends to fall back on TV body issues. Because when you're typing and texting, you can't do a linear back and forth that you're doing here. It's more than that. I mean, I don't even know it, but I've seen images of it, and it's quite complex, the texting, rapid. Not even the spelling is not traditionally correct, you know? So it's kind of an ESP that goes on with the chip body, and that's interactive. So you've got the ESP, which we're not doing, though any one of you could be texting while we're talking here in the analog form of the telephone, and then you got your chemical body, and then there's your spiritual aspect, which I call the astral body. So you get those four bodies mixing in and out. And when Ion's here, that's the mystery plane, the mystery landscape. So it makes it even more multi-leveled. All right?
So the slut walk is the TV body teaching the chemical body, maybe?
Yes, that's right. They're using the TV landscape to deal with chemical body issues, and that'll create all kinds of contradictions, and it doesn't work. They should be saying, we're just addressing the imagery, and usually they are. A lot of more sophisticated protests are geared to be image-oriented. It's not a chemical body issue.
Makes sense. Thank you.
Maybe what? All the catcalling comes from the TV body.
Right, and the political correctness comes from the TV body because the reporters have to be, don't offend all the different types that are listening, all the tribal types. All the chemical body tribal types are identifying chemically body-wise to the topics. They don't recognize, no, these are TV images, and it is actually paying attention to you, minorities, because the TV body can and has to do that. Before TV, minorities weren't fucking even noticed. Take the American natives or blacks or even Irish in the 19th
century. I think they were noticed. I mean, like,
not sympathetically. They were considered as, in the South, the whites considered the blacks as, you know, competitors, something you had to control. They were like in a constant state of war.
And
before
it makes
television?
A lot of sense.
Yeah, and when television came in the 50s, the people at war in the South went nuts. And the North couldn't believe the racism just being displayed on TV by the politicians, the sheriffs, and the beating up the blacks. The say, 1922 reality of the South suddenly was going to people who actually lived in 1960. And they couldn't believe this 1922 behavior. But the South didn't know it was being broadcast to people who didn't have their chemical body biases anymore.
Mm.
And then George Wallace ran for president on that point. He advocated states' rights, get out of the federal layout, we're right to suppress the blacks, all that stuff. But then society was rapidly changing beyond them, and so they had to, back off. They lost that war.
So this slut gathering or slut walk was a peaceful gathering in a sense.
But it's through the violent medium of television about chemical body issues. It's such a mixture that's why one, if you're a serious protester, you wouldn't do it through the TV body unless you're just being satirical, which is what the guys in the masks are doing at these demonstrations, just running around wrecking things, like being anarchists, without any serious agenda of trying to look proper. Because they don't take that seriously, and more people can be like that because the TV environment is older. More obsolete than the chip body.
Yes. Yeah.
So do you guys think that the media has caught, like, do you guys think the media created HIV and AIDS like a actual transmitted device, like virus from the electronic media?
Well, we got different views here. I mean, I'm the one who exposed the actual cause of AIDS. It was a viral debilitant spread through the smallpox program in the 70s in Africa. And I actually presented this information that I'd gotten from the Evergreens and disguised it was from the Evergreens and gave it to journalists in 1989, September 89. It was all ignored. But I'll tell you exactly what happened, you know, sort of scientifically in the thing. But AIDS as a media phenomenon is something different. You go through the paranoia of the early 80s, and then somehow people get used to it by the late 90s, by the late 80s, so there's a different attitude. And then there's the fact that the thing gets milder through a 29-year cycle. So it becomes like 2000, not an issue. It just sneaks up on people because it's not a blatant thing. So it's all, so definitely media are causation in any phenomenon. And there's different
balance.
Media environments. What?
Yeah, but I balance. Mean, HIV and AIDS didn't exist, like, before
right.
The AIDS.
They were, it was genetically modified in the labs.
Regardless of how it came about, I mean, airplanes and international travel haven't really been around long enough. It was only because our world's so mixed up that... And you had the sexual revolution where people could be, you know, sexually active to spread it. I mean, if everyone was a Puritan and slept in a different bed every night and never messed around on their wife, you could have this disease sitting there and no one would still catch it, right? It was part of the you know,
Baudrillard,
orgy culture.
Baudrillard writes, well, you know, interesting originally about the AIDS virus. You know, he has another interesting take. But the... what is your, it's like your question is a dumb question in the sense that, well, it's obvious, but maybe that's not what your question means. Like, restate your question. I don't get what your point is that we have to respond to.
It's not really a question. It's more of like just a statement or comment. Like, you know, do you think that the electronic media has transmitted a biological virus to humans? Like, is that possible?
Oh, yeah, that's possible. Anything's possible with humans. Because they can, you know, there were cultures in the past that were based on hating each other. Actual cultures. I mean, humans are plastic. They can be molded by any situation, depending on which media are involved. And there can be simple media, not much media, the way we have it, complex media. So those are simpler societies, and they make weird permutations. But, you're actually saying, was the virus spread through the coverage of it? Yeah, it was probably, there was all kinds of rebels out there. You know, people hate the TV body. And if they see something happening, they'll go do the opposite. So you had people out there being sexual terrorists, spreading the virus and not telling anybody.
Did reactions like this help evolve the TV body?
Yes. It was part of the thinking that people thought about when they were engaging TV imagery. Yeah, that's an ongoing evolution of how people react. I mean, in general, starting maybe 20 years ago, when you had your presidential elections, you had many people purposely voting opposite of whatever the media said. And that's probably, you know, epitomized in Trumpism. So people were getting bored of the received wisdom, and you had those talk shows like Jerry Springer and the other guy, Morley or something. That was happening in the early 90s, and then Perot surfaced out of that. Perot became a channel for people pissed off at the cliches of the Reagan era on TV.
Yes.
So that was a different thinking about TV than in the 60s or the 70s. And then the 90s, nobody cared about TV. They got into the chip body, and at best, they just watched Jon Stewart, satirical TV, satirical news. But we can keep talking after this music.
Thank you.